The text for today's sermon is from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. And we spend a lot of time thinking about just even the first verse, which I reread. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The Lord times so many things together, it amazes me at times, and maybe you also in your lives. Because I thought I didn't want to say the Athanasian Creed, where we had to have that long reading in the cemetery, but do it in the church building here. Might be awkward to hold the extra papers. Then I put observe Trinity Sunday today, and this in our 3 years, three series of 3 year readings that we use in the LC Mass, the assigned reading for Holy Trinity, which I delayed 1 week, was Isaiah 6. Isaiah 6. Verses 1 through 8 and following, talks about Isaiah's, you can say, his installation into being a prophet. And it oftentimes is used as a pastor's installation or ordination. So I found it incredible that this is the assigned reading my last Sunday as your pastor. Because this has a lot of meaning for pastors, for all Christians. Last week, I promised that the sermon was part one of a two-part sermon. Last week, while we met in the cemetery, we spoke much about God's left-hand kingdom, his left-hand kingdom. And this is the kingdom which referred to of living in this world, living in the nations today, the societies today. And we talked about God's gifts and his blessings and his protections and how he provides for us in so many ways through the kingdoms of this world, the societies and communities of this world. And we gave thanks, especially last week, for those who served us in the military, in the fire department, as police, in so many ways, in this, the kingdoms of this world, God provides for us and gives us fellow citizens that help us and take care of us. That we often refer to in Christian theology as God's left-hand kingdom, which we live in, and all people. This morning, then, part two, God's right-hand kingdom. And his right-hand kingdom is now going on forever. Sometimes we make it confused. Well, I want to be in God's kingdom. I want to go to heaven. Yes, we want to go to heaven. But it's not like that kingdom of heaven starts when we die or when Jesus comes again in glory. No, it's right now. We're living in it now. So we Christians are living both this kingdom now on the left hand in our nation, our communities, and so forth, and all people in other nations. But Christians are also living at the same time in the kingdom that I'll call God's forever kingdom. It goes now and forever. And there's much that we could say about this kingdom, this right-hand kingdom, but certainly these things. This is God's grace that brings us into his kingdom. His power brings us into his kingdom. In the left-hand kingdom, all people are part of it. All people that are conceived and born in this world are part of this world and his ruling in that way in this world. But his kingdom of grace, he brings us into it. And this kingdom is the kingdom in which Christ's death and resurrection, his forgiveness comes upon us. And this kingdom is the one in which the Holy Spirit gives us power to live day by day by day in faith It is a kingdom that we live in faith. It's reality, but it's faith. I have there the Hebrews passage. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. You don't see it yet, but you know it's true. You may have a rich uncle, and you know in his will you are getting $10 million. You know it's true. It's going to happen. It just hasn't happened yet. And you don't want your uncle to die. But when he does, when those things happen, you know this is true. It's this reality already. And Christians are called to bear witness to the realities that we see and hear and know are true by faith. We're called to bear witness to that, as Isaiah is called to bear witness here. And I'm going to stick this part in here because I don't want to forget it. I wanted to put it in somewhere. You see, we Christians, whether here at Zion or other Christian congregations, we hear the gospel message. We hear about the suffering and death and resurrection of Jesus. We hear about the miracles of Jesus. This summer's VBS has miracles by Jesus. We hear in things in our lives and share about how God is working in our lives. And by faith, we know these biblical stories. We know God's work in our hearts and minds and families are true. Those who are not of the faith look in and say, well, I don't know about that Jesus rising from the dead. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. But we say it's true. And I'm bearing witness to you about it. Luke wrote Acts, and he writes down Peter's sermon. We know that Luke interviewed people to write his gospel in Acts. Perhaps he even interviewed Peter, because Luke hadn't been converted yet on that first Pentecost. And Luke may have said, Peter, tell me what you preached that day. And we heard the second half of that sermon today. This is Peter preaching to us. That is what we have seen and heard, and so many other things that we bear witness to. So, Isaiah's in the temple making, he's a priest, we know that, Old Testament priest working in the temple, and God gives him this vision. And he starts out in verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died. Whoa, a split right there. The king that died and the king that lives forever. I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. Uzziah, left-hand kingdom. The Lord sitting on his throne, the right-hand kingdom which lives forever. And King Uzziah was a very, in human terms, successful king. He ruled for 52 years. He strengthened the military of Judah. He made many treaties, and they became wealthy. He was successful. He was a successful king. But the year that he died, Isaiah says, I saw the Lord and his throne, and it flowed down into the temple, and it filled the temple. Human kingdoms, human endeavors, human wealth, human knowledge, human wisdom, they all come to an end one day. But we're talking about the right-hand kingdom. We're talking about God's kingdom, God's forever kingdom. And that is what Isaiah is called to speak about. So he sees this vision of God in heaven and his robes coming down and filling the temple. And he wrote this down to bear witness. And this is so important. And I mentioned Luke writing Acts and so forth. Why did they write it down for them? It wasn't really, it was for them, but it was for us. This vision that Isaiah has is for us. He wrote it down for us. He knew he was called. He knew that God wanted him to be a prophet, but he wrote it down for us, for those at the time going all the way up for us to bear witness to others. Now, the Bible class knows this little section, section B, I spent the whole Bible class on. You know that there's all kinds of meanings in this high and lifted up. And I just want to touch on a few things. Isaiah says he sees the throne of God high and lifted up. And that rang a bell in my head, and I researched it, and it's true. Those are the same two words, only used again together in the Old Testament, at the beginning of the suffering servant song, Isaiah 52 and 53, where Isaiah begins that psalm, that song, the suffering servant song. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up. High and lifted up. Those two words and those forms are only there in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. The servant, the suffering servant, is also high and lifted up. But how is that? High and lifted up on the cross, which the Gospel of John makes so clear that Jesus said, and we heard it in the Gospel reading, as one of the many places listed in John, that the Son of Man must be lifted up. And that way, God atoned for the sins of the whole world. So does high and lifted up mean glorious? Or does it mean suffering? Or does it mean both? It's both. High and lifted up is the true God who not only has all power, but who has all love. Self-sacrificing love, that he would send his son who would suffer and die so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And it's interesting too, you'd have to look at it more, and we did in Bible class in John 12. John quotes Isaiah several times more about the crowds and not believing in Jesus Christ and rejecting him and so forth. And then John says, Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory, and that's the glory of the Christ, the Messiah, Jesus, and spoke of him. Plainly, John says, Isaiah spoke of Jesus Christ and prophesied about him. And high and lifted up is both the power of God and also the mercy of God that would send his son, Jesus. The Holy Spirit then stirs us up. Jesus said, I won't leave you alone. I will send the Spirit. Remember, I've preached on this just recently. The Comforter, the Helper, the Counselor, the Paraclete. Those are different translations of Paraclete, Comforter, Helper, Counselor. One who is by your side guiding you, advising you, like a legal counsel, like a friend, one who comforts you. It's all encompassing, all those meanings. Holy Spirit is with you. I will send you the Paraclete, the Comforter, the Guider, the Helper to be with you, and he will teach you all things. He will bring to mind all that I have told you. And that's what the Holy Spirit did and does. The Spirit gives us faith, teaches, and empowers us. We're all the way to point C. And I could go on and give many, many points in the rest of the verses in this section of Isaiah 6, verses 2 through 8, but I just have a few things there. Verse 2, Isaiah sees that God is king, and he's king over the angels, the unseen powers. God is king over those too. It's not only what we see, but what we don't see. He is king over all. And the angels sing out with the three holies, holy, holy, holy. God is king over them. And there are three holies, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they say, his glory fills the whole earth. Everything is filled by God's glory. Everything. There is no spot where his power, his might is not. And sometimes we see things in life and we say, where is God's grace? Where is God's glory here? It is there, but he's doing things in a way that we don't understand or see at this time. And you may see that in your own lives, in our family's lives. I don't see how God's grace and glory is there, but I know it is there, and I pray it's going to be there, and it's going to be there. That is our faith in things yet not seen. Now compare that to any human power or authority or nation or historical rule. Nobody. Well, a few have said it, and they're absolutely. There was Antiochus Epiphanes, who desecrated the temple in 164 AD, I think it was. He said he was actually ruler over the heavens. And his contemporaries said, the guy's crazy. But no human ruler is over earth and heaven. No human ruler is over the universe. No human ruler is over the angels. This is what our God is. He is the king over all these things. We had, I don't know how many people up here, maybe about 12 people up here. We sang nicely, but we didn't shake the foundations of the church. One voice in verse 4 of the angel shakes the foundations of the temple. Just the voice of an angel can shake the voice, shake the temple. Isaiah sees all that, and there's another beautiful sermon that should be right here in verse 5. But Isaiah sees all that, and he says, woe is me, I am in trouble. Well, I don't know if anybody I've ever heard say, woe is me, in our English language today, but we can say, I am in big trouble. And we use all kinds of phrases to express that. I am in trouble, for I have seen the King. He has seen God. And he has unclean lips. And my people are no better. They have unclean lips too. We all have unclean lips, and these are the people of God, and this is a priest of God. And he is afraid because he knows he's a sinner. He is in trouble. But the angel shows the mercy of God and brings this coal from the altar of God in the temple, touched his lips. You are clean. You are forgiven. You are atoned for. And as a prophet, of course, he wants clean words, clean prophecies, right things to be said. And so his mouth is cleansed, his whole body is cleansed, so that he can be a prophet of God and deliver the holy words that he is called to do. He is forgiven. We bear witness to those things in our life too. We are forgiven. God holds us guiltless for the sake of Christ. So now, he is guiltless. His sins are forgiven. He has seen the glory of God, the power of God. He has seen what is normally unseen, angels. And now what does God say? God himself says, now who will go out for us? And Isaiah says, here I am. Send me, send me. We have been given these scriptures. We have been given these things written by Luke and Isaiah and Moses and Paul and John. These are the words from God. And he says, this is all that you know. This is reality. You know it. You believe it. You know this is true. Who will go and send my message? And as the missionary hymn says, who will go and work today? Here I am. Send me, send me. It's all of us as Christians. Every time we have those Christmas services, and all church services, but let me emphasize the high festival services. Every time we have those services, the Christmas services, the Holy Week services, every time we have those, we see the glory and hear the glory of God. And God calls us to bear witness. We're part of it. We're part of his eternal kingdom. So, after this service, I'm no longer your pastor. I'm your friend. I'm your brother in Christ. But you know, and you all know this, so I'm not saying anything you don't know. It's not goodbye, is it? It's, I'll see you later. You know that in Christ, God's people are his forever people and forever family. And so he calls us to do different things at different times, and to bear witness to what we have seen and heard. Because we are saved. And because we are a family forever in Christ. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks and praise for bringing us into your family. We give you thanks and praise for showing Isaiah your glory and your mercy, for forgiving his sins, and so also him writing all this down for us. Help us to know your scriptures, all of them, the best that we can, and to live according to them and to bear witness to them, free from our guilt, for your Son has atoned for us. In the holy name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.